بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last time we discussed the importance of Salah wa Jama'ah, the final Salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was the Zuhur Salah on either the Saturday or Sunday. Monday was the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on this Saturday or Sunday, the Zuhur time, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam felt slight relief from his sickness and thus came to the masjid for Zuhur Salah. Thus showing us there's no excuse for the Ummah. The Nabi of Allah was forgiven. مَا تَقَدَّمْ بِذَمْيَ مَا تَأَخَّرْ. Past sins, future sins, all maaf already. Then too he understood the lesson of servitude to Allah. You have to put the head down. You have to perform salah no matter what condition you may be in. So like this, he went to the masjid holding the shoulders, taking support on the shoulders of the Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As is Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Due to pain and weakness, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not lift his blessed feet, and they were chilling on the ground. Zuhur Salah was in progress, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was making the imamat. That was a joint imamat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said next to him, when he went into ruku, he said, Allahu Akbar, very soft. And then Abu Bakr Siddiq said it loud like a mukabbir. So there was a final salah on that Saturday or Sunday, Zuhur Salah. Then, in this kitab, they come to the section of miscellaneous incidents, reciting the quls, what we call Surah Al-Ikhlas and Mu'awwadhatain. The last two quls, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. The Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel unwell, and retire to bed, he would recite the Mu'awwidhat. Mu'awwidhat refers to the three quls, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas. Very powerful. Resulting greater in the universe in the name of Allah. Whether it be Jadu, Sihar, Athar, whatever it may be. Allah Ta'ala's name is supreme. Nothing is greater than the name of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He was once Hafiz Zamin Shaheed, Rahmatullah Alayh. And he was visiting a certain town. So they hosted him in a dilapidated old house. And they told him there's a big jinn in this house. Remember, jinn also, they can't read your mind. So we feel now, they know what I'm thinking. They can't read your mind. Allah Ta'ala hasn't given them that power. Yes, they can't. They can flow in your body like how the blood flows. But if you show weakness, then they take advantage. So Khair, he fell asleep in a dilapidated house, middle of the night, his eyes open, and he sees hovering over him one giant jinn. So he begins to recite his Ayatul Kursi. And as he begins to read, the jinn also reading with him. But Allah Ta'ala's kalam is Allah's kalam. Jinn, sihar, jadu is all darkness. Can't stand the light and nur of Quran. Very powerful. He can't bear it. So as he continued reading, the jinn also is reading. And when he came to the part of the verse of Ayatul Kursi, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا, that protecting the skies and the earth does not tire Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the jinn burnt to ashes. Burnt to ashes. Doesn't tire Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is all powerful. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us all these weapons and all this type of protection, which we must use. We have to read them every day. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before retiring to bed, he would recite the mu'awwidhat, three quls, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, and blow into his blessed hands. He should blow into his blessed hands, and a bit of sputum used to come in it. Well, you just blow it, but you, this bit of sputum comes in there, then he should rub it over his body, passing them over his blessed body. This is also sunnah, before a person sleeps at night. Because in Bukhari, Sharif, rewrite also, Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, who is the sharih and the commentator of Bukhari Sharif, he explains this. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, Bismillah every time. Then he should blow in his palms, rub over his body, the front and the back, etc. Then the second time, the 3-4 hours again, blow again, and then the third time. So he should do it in this sequence. So this now we do before we sleep. Then after every salah, after Zuhur, Asr, Isha, they also in Sunnah. After our first Salah, then we read our Sunnah, read our Nawafil, then we go to Ayatul Kursi, Tasbih, Fatimi, then three quls also. Three quls, once each. After Fajr, after Maghrib, then we recite each kul 3 times. Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times, Surah Al-Falaq 3 times, Surah Al-Nas 3 times. Now you're in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can harm you. Well, Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi is also a commentator of a hadith. He says the person who will read this, make it a habit, yakfika min kulli shay. This will suffice you for everything. Yakfika min kulli shar. It will suffice you against any type of evil. This is the kalam of Allah. Then you will see takfika min kulli weird. If you're unable to recite and finish your ma'amulat for the day, there's a shortcoming in it. By reciting the 3 quls, it will cover up the deficiency also. Like our Hazrat says now, that you couldn't have a full breakfast, at least half a cup of tea and half a toast. It will cover up now with something at least. So in the same way, these 3 quls are very, very powerful. So we should read them, make it a habit to read our 3 quls daily, then with the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we recite these wazaif, remember these are wazaif from Hadith and Quran Sharif. But these are mudallal, it's proven, this dalil is proof for it. So a person recites them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely protects that person. But at the same time, you will find the person recites his du'as, wazaif, etc. But then something happens. There's a break-in, cell phone got stolen, whatever it may be. Then you say, how come this happened now? So in a hadith, through this riwayat is mentioned over there, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mu'aqibat. Mu'aqibat are those malaika that change their shifts. يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ They protect insan by the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So they with us all the time. You find many a time the children say, he almost fell. Almost got hurt. Allah protected him. Malaika are there. Parents said du'as also. The children got safe. Now we're sitting in the car, we are traveling. Shouldn't be only I'm reciting du'as. You might get saved, but the rest of the family, they must also read it. They get a habit, read it about loudly, so they become habitual of reading the du'as. So a person recites his du'as, then something happens to him. So the riwayat says that when the malaika protection, they see that Allah Ta'ala's taqdeer now is descending. The same calamity is going to afflict the person, then they step aside. Then they step aside, protecting the house, then they see Allah Ta'ala's test is coming down now. So they step aside, break in, hijacking, Allah Ta'ala protect, whatever it may be. Now Allah tabarak wa ta'ala doesn't take away from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put your life in danger. Allah wants to see which way your heart is going. Where the heart is going? Is the heart going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or the heart is going away from, running away from Allah? Now the test is on. That is the crunch point. Where the heart is going? La ilaha illallah. Ulama is to hold it, ilah. Ilah, you can say no deity. No one worthy of worship. Ilah. For they expect ilah refers to any entity or object to which the heart rushes at the time of need and calamity. That's your ilah. That is what you worship. At the time of calamity and test, where the heart goes to first, that is what you worship. Simple example we give also. Person goes to fill the car, petrol. So he doesn't think twice also. He tells the bouncer, fill the tank. Fill the tank. Fills the tank. Now he comes for payment. Bring the machine. Now he takes out the wallet. And he opens it. And the wife took the credit card. Now what he'll say? Allah. Allah came now. When the card is gone. Allah didn't come before that. Now when that ilah had disappeared, then Allah came then. So he showed his worship. I don't know. Sorted. No. Your card can't do. Your money can't do. Now he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What am I going to do now? So then you can understand now who the God is. Whether it's my wallet, whether it's a card, whether it's the wealth, whether it's the insurance broker, whether it's the insurance policy, whether it's a bank manager. He'll sort me out. That will sort me out. Like last Jumu'ah, Osman al-Katani Sahib gave the example. He says, youngster went for a proposal. What is a proposal? Dini pious youngster. So the father-in-law, future father-in-law, so to say, he asked the young man, what are you going to do now? If you marry my daughter, so I study Hadith and Quran, and God will provide. He said, okay, very good. But what are you going to do? My daughter now has got a standard of living. He said, I study Hadith and Quran, and God will provide. He said, yes, but she's used to a comfortable life. All amenities, everything is there. So what are you going to do? So very good akhlaq. He says, I study hadith in Quran, and God will provide. I said, okay, very good. So after the whole interview, so the wife asked the husband, young man came, how was it, our interview? And he said, excellent boy. Every time I asked him how he looked after the daughter, he said, he's going to study hadith and Quran, and I'll provide. And he regarded himself to be God. God will provide. So he said, I'll provide. So we sorted out, I'll provide for them. So Allah Ta'ala forgive us, and we don't, I'll sort it out. I. That's why even our mashayikh also, Hadi Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, our Hazrat Wala also, when they should give bayan also, when they should start the bayan, Allah ka fazal, Sheikh ki barakat. Always Allah's fazal. When you say also, my mother's du'as, say Allah's fazal first. Allah's fazal, then my mother's du'as. Because through Allah's fazal, her du'as got accepted. So what do we say only? Mother's du'as. Oh, wife's qurbani. Say Allah's fazal first. Allah Ta'ala's fazal and grace. Allah's mercy upon us. Alhamdulillah, somebody's du'a, somebody's ikram, and this happened and that happened. So three quls, at that time we recited, the malaika, they step aside, so they come and they have shifts and they protect us by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if Allah ta'ala wants to test us, then they remove their protection and the test is on thereafter. So Nabi Ali salatu wasalam used to do this, so after every salah we have our three quls, after Fajr and after. Now ulama say, don't be typical human beings, we don't like to say it, typical Indians also. After all the jewelry is stolen, now we jack up the alarm system. When now we got a hit first, now let's start. Alright, now we spend on security and everything. And we got the cameras and all that. Whatever it is now, then everything was stolen now. Then you say, see the footage and the camera not working. Why did you sort it out? No, it's too expensive to sort out the camera. Couldn't get the guy to come. Now the guy will come instantly. But all is beforehand. Allah Ta'ala has given asbab. We use the asbab, but we don't trust the asbab. But they have it in place there. And trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we read our wazaif. And remember also this too. Whether this wazifa for rozi also, wazifa for muhabbat in the home also, wazaif and wazifas and du'as are primarily, solely and wholly, only for the pleasure of Allah. And they're doing it for protection. And they're doing it now to have a good life. And they're doing it because of a rozi. I'm doing it now because Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala taught us this dua through Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We read it to please Allah. Allah becomes happy, Allah protects me. Allah becomes pleased, and Allah will give me a rozi. Now, what happens, the niyat is incorrect. I'm doing it for the specific reward. Yes, I have yaqeen upon the reward. Allah will give it to me. But I can do it in such a way that it's pleasing to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we recite these du'as over here before we sleep. Take out the time also that we read Ajmi Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas one time, then blow in the hands of the sputum comes over the body, second time and third time. And now see the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how particular. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam fell into his final illness, then due to his extreme weakness, the Aisha radiallahu anha says, I would read these three surahs and blow on him. She would read it. And she would blow on him. And I would pass his blessed hands over his blessed body. She would take his hands now, possibly blow into his hands, and then she would. Now you might think, what's the effect of these wazifas? I mean, we don't really feel. What is there really? So Ajib Muni Mazhar Sahib gave a beautiful example. Remember, see, Quran Sharif is shifa'un lima fi sudur. It's a shifa. It'll become a shifa for you when you make the niyat. Ya Allah, I'm missing the Quran right now. And you make this intention, Ya Allah, listen to Quran, Ya Allah, what? A shifa for my heart. That the darkness has been expelled. Nur must come into my heart. Ya Allah, I have anger, I have jealousy, I have whatever it may be. So, barakat this Quran, even in first namaz, listen to the Qari reading. Just they say, read salah with your heart. Make sajda with your heart. Now listen with your heart also. And make intention, Ya Allah, these verses over here should be a shifa for what I have within me right now. And it will have that effect. Whatever those evil things in my heart, the barakat of Quran Sharif, the whole Sharia is based upon niyat. Innamal amalu bin niyat. So I make the niyat, I'm making Quran tilawat. Allah is shifa for my heart, shifa for my illnesses, physical, emotional. You're going to make the intention, then it will work. And how Muli Mazda Sahib explains also, even if you don't make the intention, Hazrat says also that a person now, by mistake, he took some multivitamin tablets. This will help you, by mistake. Unknowingly, he took some panadu, then he will go away. By the qudrat of Allah, fazal of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Even Hazrat says, by taking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's name, unmindfully, will still benefit you. Will still benefit you, like that person, Hindu, all life, worshipping that idol. Idol, you say in Arabic, sanam. Oh, 99 years, ya sanam, ya sanam, ya sanam, oh my idol, oh my idol. One day, by mistake, he said, ya samad. And from the unseen, the voice came, labbaik ya abdi. Oh my slave, I'm waiting for you. By mistake, he took my name also. Then too, I'm waiting for you. So, just making dhikr of Allah also, even you just took the name of Allah and mindfully, there'll be effects. Imagine you take it mindfully. In the correct way, then look at the benefit thereafter. So Mawlana mentions, he says, that when in the court of the king there was an alim. So the alim mentioned and he said that the Quran is a shifa for every type of illness. Physical illness, spiritual illness, emotional illness, whatever it may be. Quran is a healing for it. So one minister laughed. One minister laughed at him. He says, the king was sick. The king was sick. So, this was the incident. So, the king was very sick. So, they brought all the physicians, all the doctors, and they tried, and they tried. The king wasn't getting better. So, he made a claim that the Quran is a shifa for every type of illness. So, all the surgeons, physicians, they called him. He said, we give him the best medication. You're making a fool of yourself. You're in a complete Quran and you get better. This is differently. So the king now had confidence in his alim. So he said, explain to them that how will the Quran have an effect on a sick person? So alim says, very simple. He said, how is it? So that certain minister that was mocking at him, so he just told the minister in front of everyone there, he said, you're a donkey and you're a monkey. And he saw his eyes started getting bloodshot. And his wings began to swell. And he began to get angry. Everybody's laughing around him. And he's giving him a straight face. Then he told that minister, say, have you understood now? He says, no. So you're the biggest fool. But even more angry. The king said, now, okay. Morana Sheikh, he said, what's this about now? He says that Quran Sharif, what effect will it have on the human? I only put a few letters together. Alphabets. M-O-N-K-E-Y. And I just threw that at him. See what happened to him. See what happened to him. His whole demeanor changed. His whole mood changed. Just on one, two words only. What it did to him. Imagine the words of Allah. Quran, what it will do on a person. Because he understands what that word means. He knows the connotation. He knows what's behind this word. Monkey, donkey, fool. If you know who's behind this kalam, the creator of this body, the Shafi, the one that gives shifa for every illness, and this is his words that you will repeat. So if you make that intention and open the heart up, it is just because he got angry, this Quran will heal you. It will heal you. So every limb of your body will listen to the Quran Sharif. When you're reading, your limb will listen to it, your eyes, your heart. Wherever the illness is, focus and activate the limb of the body to listen to Quran. Take it in, take it in, take it in. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Yeah, we have boys in our homes becoming hafiz of Quran. They read the Quran Sharif. Tell them, they must read loudly. Hafiz boy must read loudly at home. They must, I tell the boys, they must read so loudly, the neighbors must hear also. So they put the TV off. The hafiz are reading Quran Sharif next door. When they read Quran, the whole house can hear it. Then you'll see no jinnat will come, no shaitan will come. Everything will run away. Barakat of Quran Sharif. And our honorable Sheikh, Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib Al-Barakatuh says, he said, I have firm belief in Allah, firm yaqeen in Allah. It's my yaqeedah and my belief. But that child will learn to read Quran first, before the alphabets. The first thing he learned was Quran Sharif, Surah Fatiha. Oh, what they like, Qul huwallahu ahad. Inna a'atayna kal kawthar. And how they read it too, so beautifully. Teach them Quran, he says, Hazrat says, my firm belief, and this also was the view of the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. That child whose first words become Quran Sharif, he learned one whole surah first before he learned one on nursery rhyme or something like that, as I say, it's my firm belief that child will die upon iman. He will die with iman. The Quran goes into the masum heart. It won't come out. It won't come out. He might go off in his life wherever it is now. But he grew up with Quran Sharif in his home. There was Quran Tilawa taking place. He saw his mother, he saw his father. There was loud reading there. Sometimes the cassette was playing. Oh, no more cassette now. Now the phone was playing. So he says, that Quran has gone into his heart. This will be advised, brothers, have young children. Now you have this reading of Sheikh Minshawi with a little child reading after him. Right? They play that night and children are going to sleep loudly in the house. That they hear all these surahs, that Qari is reading the surah, that little child is reading after him. Brothers don't have it, they can find out. We can send it on the groups. So play that at night, play loudly in the house. Children know half past 7, 8 o'clock we're in bed. And I say, we can't sleep, we can't put this on loudly. Put it in the room, put it loudly in the house, let the whole house be full of it, all the surahs of Quran Sharif. And see how that will go into their hearts. The child, even in his moments of playing also, you see him, he start his own Quran Tilawat, his own Qirat he start reading. Even the little girls too start reading it, because Quran has that effect. Quran has that effect. Now if you don't put Quran Sharif, then what are they going to listen to? The mother nursery rhyme they learn, and all ajeebati things now they will learn. So put Quran Sharif for them. So as Aisha says radiallahu anha, that Aisha will blow in the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and pass his blessed hands over his blessed body due to the barakah of his hands. In another narration, as Aisha radiallahu anha reports that it was with the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that she would recite and blow on his blessed body. She would recite this. Three surahs, which we take to be so light, but we can see how heavy it is. So even those nights now, the final illness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was the most powerful wazifa. Now we look for some, give us some. We'll open on what khatam group. Right, make khatam. Now they got website also. So many khatams make. Illa deena yusfurun. As it keeps on emphasizing that this deen is easy. It's not difficult. It's not burdensome. Not that if you get so many people to do it. This deen is easy. Wala yushadu deenu illa ghalabahu. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, and that whoever will overdo the deen of Allah, this deen will overpower him. And people will give up after that. It's too much. Now how long will you carry on this thing now? Deen is easy. Look at Nabi alayhi salam. There was no khatam group in Masjid al-Nabawi. I get all sahaba ikram. I saw the khatam now. Nabi salam is sick. We never read anywhere. That it was 1 week illness now. The Nabi of Allah is ill. Now, it was you and I. We say now, the Sheikh is sick now, big guru is sick, whatever it is. Get everybody together. It's Yasin Khatam, and this Khatam, and that Khatam. Get the ladies out also. Get them involved, everything. Deen is easy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanAllah, the ajib, his sunnat. His sunnat, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, when he was offered, either you can be a Malikul Nabi. You can be a king and a Nabi, a rich person and a Nabi, or you can be a pauper and a Nabi. What is your choice? So Jibreel Amin was there, alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at Jibreel. Malaika have come and they've offered me. Oh Jibreel, what's your mashwara? He said, oh Nabi of Allah, choose that one. So one day you'll eat, one day you won't eat. One day you'll make sabr, one day you'll make shukr. So opt for that, to be a Nabi, but poor. But ulama said the deep, deep wisdom behind this, the choosing for poverty, was that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did in his lifetime became the sunnah. That became the standard. Because of his simple lifestyle, because of poverty, his life was simple. So he chose that, so even the poorest ummati of mine till qiyamah will have no excuse that he can't be kamal upon the sunnah. Rich man can do it. But if he chose to be a king, palatial home, have a beautiful bread, Arab horse, and the best of foods, that will become the standard of sunnah. So the poor man in the ummah will say, Islam not for me. That sunnah I can't afford it. That type of house I can't afford it. This type of conveyance I can't. Not for me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam by choice took on this for the poorest ummah till the day of Qiyamah. So when he comes to his deen also, he made it that easy. For the weakest Musliman, weakest Muslim also, you can't do much. Doesn't have the means also to give sadqah. And he doesn't have that imani taqat. Doesn't have such a big family to make khatams for him. Three quds. Read that and you're done already. between the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, we are taught from the sunnah that it's not so difficult to make Allah Pak do your work. They're not going to do so much, as if Allah Ta'ala is such a difficult being now. That you have to do hundreds of thousands now to influence Allah to do our work. No. That doing 100,000 is for you. So you come into some amal of deen at least. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sees the quality of the heart, what's within a person's heart. Allah Pak looks at that. How are you doing it? Those sins in your life, you're not perpetrating some violation of Sharia, and you're doing it correctly. Then obviously you see Allah Ta'ala puts effect in it. Small amal, but the quality is good, and the venue, the place, the people are doing it correctly. Allah shows the effect, so you can see over here. Or we haven't found any other wazifas that were being read at that time, Masjid al-Nabawi. But Aisha said, within the home, that was it. Made them of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that was it basically. Once you make a habit of reciting these surahs every morning and evening, and when retiring to bed, as they are a means of great protection, such was the punctuality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon the recitation, that even when he was too weak to recite them himself, he instructed Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha to recite them for him. But this also, sometimes you got fever, you're very sick, you can't do anything. Tell the family, recite the three quls and blow on me. Or tell the children also, you all come on by one, read one, blow on me. Furthermore, if a person cannot recite on his own, then another person may recite and blow on him. Hence, every parent should try to recite the three quls and blow on their small children. Together with this, as they grow older, they should be taught to recite it themselves. The Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that I entered into the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his final illness. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was a very senior sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, always in and out of the houses of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, I went to the presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam during his final illness, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was experiencing the pain of fever. Observing the severity of his pain, I asked, Ya Rasulullah, do you experience severe fever pain? Rasulullah replied, yes, I experience fever pain, like that which two of you experience, meaning double the pain of you people. That's what I go through. I then asked, is that so that you will receive double the reward? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, yes, it is for that reason. There is no Muslim who is afflicted by some difficulty, be it the prick of a thorn, or something more insignificant than that, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate and wipe out his sins in exchange of the difficulty, just as he ceases off its leaves. Little difficulty also, mu'min goes through, and he takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove his gunas and sins. To the extent also ulama say, that a person, for example, he puts his hand in his pocket, or take out his keys, but in another pocket. That amount of taklif also, Allah Ta'ala rewards him for that. Obviously now, this shouldn't be because of better TB. He's got no sequence and no pattern in his life. He's always fumbling, looking for things. Now he has tartib, somebody put in the other pocket, they look for it, they couldn't find it. He'll be rewarded for that. Together with this being a great consolation and virtue for those that experience difficulties, it also explains the fact that difficulties are not necessarily a sign of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, the paragon of Allah ta'ala's creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will not have undergone such severe pain. Here on this point too, our mashayikh say you might find a person in sakarat, very difficult sakarat. Doesn't mean he's a sinner. This is Allah ta'ala's system. Person had an easy mouth also because he is jannati. And Sahaba Ikram said also, so and so is a jannati. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you cannot say that with yaqeen. We say, inshallah. Inshallah he is a jannat. We can't say with conviction that he's gone to jannat. So difficult mouth also doesn't indicate some azab or some punishment. Oh, because he did something. So we take a bad omen from there. Like look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. 1 week going through all his difficulty. But he's a Nabi of Allah. So final judgment is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this now the awliya, the friends of Allah, Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam, they go through this to raise them in ranks. And for the simple believer, gunas and sins, through this Allah Ta'ala removes all his gunas and his sins by him making sabr upon it. Yes, when a person is sick also, they say you should not complain. You should not complain. Somebody asks, how are you feeling? Now some people hear this, that if you are ill, you shouldn't complain. So there's two ways. One is, now somebody asks, how are you? You are sick. So now I'm fine. Can't complain. Yes, if you complain, we can tell somebody, I'm sick, please make dua for me. I'm in a lot of pain right now. Let's not complain then. Expressing your feelings, asking for du'as. One is your displeasure. Can't take the pain anymore. When you say, I'm in pain, please make dua for me. That is from Sunnah, that is from Sabr. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah.